Friends, will you please pray with me? Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for the ways that you have placed your sacredness, your divine spark and possibility within each and every one of us. You, O God, have faith in us. Help us in this moment and in this year to have faith in ourselves. We ask in this time together that you would quiet every voice within us except your own and startle us with your truth. We pray in the name of your Son. Amen. So, welcome to 2019, everyone. I hope you all had a lovely Christmas and New Year's. You may have taken down your Christmas decorations and retired your Mariah Carey Christmas album for the season, but we at Broad Street Ministry and in the church world, we are, yes, Tyler, still in the Christmas season. Welcome to Epiphany! Woo! That's right, Epiphany, the one day a year when we commemorate when foreign sorcerers use their astrological divination powers to track down a Jewish child and give him unchild-friendly gifts. Perfect. There's a lot of folklore surrounding Epiphany Sunday. This is the much-loved but often neglected holiday. A lot of the folklore we get actually from the song that we're going to sing in a bit, the We Three Kings song, but the Bible itself doesn't actually tell us a lot, as we've heard from Aaron reading this passage. The Bible doesn't tell us and give us a lot of details about this seemingly important event. Matthew 2 describes the foreign visitors as magoi in Greek, which could mean that they were teachers or elder scholars or priests or physicians or sorcerers and soothsayers or magicians, I don't know. We don't know the names of these wise people or their religious and cultural background. We only know that they came from the direction of the rising sun. They came from the east. We're not even sure how many of them are. Everyone assumes that there are three of them. Look at the text. It does not say how many of the wise people there were, how many sorcerers, magicians. It just says that there were wise ones, wise men. Many people have assumed that because there are three gifts that there were three people, but other traditions actually hold it that there were as many as 12 of these magi, magical people. Now, the gifts themselves, they're a bit of a mystery. The text says that the magi brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We don't know what the deal with these gifts are. They don't have a particular cultural significance. They may have been medicinal. They may have been symbolic. They may have been just the traditional gifts that you bring to someone who's really fancy, perhaps someone who's a king. Some people have suggested that the gifts were only important because they were valuable and that the Holy Family would be able to sell them in their fleeing from Herod and running to Egypt. Some have suggested that the gifts have a spiritual significance and meaning, that the gold represents Jesus' incarnation and connection to the earth, that the frankincense, which is an incense that you burn, represents Jesus' connection to God, to deities that you would burn incense and sacrifices to, and that the myrrh, as a kind of embalming oil, grimly represents Jesus' future death and crucifixion. You know, because every new mother wants a beautiful gift that says your baby's gonna die one day. Beautiful. Whatever the gifts represented, they have set this precedent for gift giving during the Christmas season. We give gifts because the wise people came and gave gifts to the Holy Family. And for all we know, they were exactly the right gifts that Mary and Joseph and Jesus needed at that time. As many of you may know, gift giving can be a very tricky business. I think giving the right gift often requires an intimate knowledge of the person who you're giving the gift to. From my experience on the whole, my family has been pretty good at giving gifts, especially around Christmas time. But there was a season when I was in high school when every single year, without fail, my parents and my brother, and sometimes both of them, would give me the gift of a Bible. I only really need one. See, here's the thing. I kind of went on this spiritual faith journey by myself. I went to worship on Sundays by myself. My faith was really something that I did individually on my own. And so for me, I hated it when they gave me a Bible. And sometimes it was a Bible, sometimes it was chicken noodle soup for the teenage soul or some other Christian kitschy thing that I was never going to read. And I hated it because it felt like they were like, oh, cool, Laura's into Jesus. We're just going to go into the Christian life section of Barnes & Noble and pick out the first thing we see. It made me feel like they didn't even know me, so I hated it. And so I sound super unappreciative, but it drove me a little crazy. I think a good gift, if you give a good gift, it shows that you know that person well. And if you give a good gift, it shows that you're paying attention to that person, maybe even thinking about the things they may like. If you give a good gift, it means that you're thinking about that person. Gift giving can be tricky business. But on this Epiphany Sunday, we think about good gift giving as a way of acknowledging the value, the specialness, the uniqueness, maybe even the sacredness within every person. For the Magi, their gifts acknowledge the infant Jesus' importance and value. Their gifts placed Jesus on the level of a king, of a priest, a prophet. Their gifts allowed the world to see Jesus as God saw Jesus, as someone who was royal and sacred and loved. So to honor the story of the Magi, some people on Epiphany, they'll actually give wrapped gifts, but more often, many people celebrate Epiphany by offering to one another blessings. In Scotland, actually, they'll write blessings on people's doors, and people will go around the different rooms of their house offering a blessing and blessing one another. That's a way that we honor the gifts of the story of Epiphany. Christians honor a person and a home, maybe even a new year, by blessing it, by seeing that person and that thing truly as they are. See, when we as Christians talk about the mystery of Jesus' incarnation at Christmas, what we mean is this. For reasons beyond anyone's understanding, God has decided to be known in person, in flesh, in the physical world. The incarnation means that matter, that physical stuff, that matter matters to God, that the ordinary things of this world, a building, a chair, a cup, a person, you and me, the ordinary things of the world are drenched in divine possibility. That's what a blessing is about. Blessings are not about casting spells or setting things apart as more holy than others. No, to pronounce a blessing on something is to see it from the divine perspective, to reveal its true value, to acknowledge the sacredness that already exists deeply embedded within the thing itself. The Magi brought gifts to Jesus to bless him, to reveal the divine power and possibility that existed within this ordinary Hebrew child. And so on this Epiphany Sunday, we bless one another to reveal the inherent value and sacredness that exists within each one of us, saying, "You are loved. You are powerful. You are capable. You too are holy." Now, actually blessing a thing can feel like a bit of an unnatural act. As a pastor, I'm often asked to bless things, but the reality is that I'm no more able to bless something than you are. In fact, all of us have that power to bless something, to see it as it truly is. We've come to believe that only certain people with special authority and power can offer a blessing, but if the Magi have taught us anything, it's that God reveals holiness through through even the most unlikely of people, that God's sacredness is universal, that we all have this ability to reveal divine things in our midst. There's a Jewish tradition of offering 100 blessings a day. And these are blessings for everything, blessings that offer gratitude for the gift of the thing and also a way of acknowledging how God is working within the thing. There are blessings for when you wake up in the morning, blessings before you set out on a journey. There's a blessing for when you get a new outfit, a blessing for if you see a comet in the sky. There are blessings for fruits and for vegetables, for pastries, for bread, for wine. There are blessings for just about every human bodily activity and every common and uncommon object. The word in Hebrew for blessing is barak, like Barack Obama, that's how I remember it. Barak, a little blessing for you. Barak, which is also the same root for knee, your knees. So the Hebrew word for blessing therefore suggests that you can only give or receive a blessing on your knees with humility, in humble, all-filled recognition of the holiness embedded within everyday life. We bless things because we recognize that God has made these things, and therefore that thing shares in God's own holiness. We bless things in order to look at the people and things around us with compassion, to open ourselves up to others and to God's very presence. And we recognize that there is no minimum requirement for a blessing. Anything can be blessed. A spoon, a stick, a room, a dog. Everything has that divine holiness within it. It is our job to reveal that in the world. Anything and every person can have purpose and value and possibility within it. So in preparing for this sermon, thinking about Epiphany, not a holiday I think about or celebrate, I asked my fairly agnostic husband to do something a little strange with me, a little something out there for us. I asked him to walk around our house blessing the rooms of our house for the new year. I explained that these blessings, again, weren't like casting spells. They weren't even for creating good energy for the space. I explained that in blessing the rooms, I wanted to acknowledge and appreciate the value of each space. And I also wanted to affirm what we aspired to do in that space for the new year. So we started out in the guest room and said what we would hoped would happen in that space in 2019. That people would feel welcomed and comfortable. My husband added, especially people who were struggling. We blessed the space, asking that it would provide rest and stability for those traveling and wandering in their life this year, whatever that looked like. In the kitchen, we blessed the hands that work there, saying we hoped that this would be a space where we came together after long days to cook meals together, to fortify ourselves for a new day, a space to laugh and listen to news and eat an obnoxious amount of candy. We went from room to room with the dog very confused, trailing us along the way, because it's not a thing we've done before. Room to room, blessing each space, sometimes lighting a candle in the space, sharing our hopes, offering gratitude for what we had and for what was possible in the new year. A space to build, a space to rest, a space to get clean, a space to make music and art. It was an informal process. I didn't say prayers, I didn't put oil on anything. We kind of laughed and joked along the way, but it felt like a way that we were casting a hope for that space in the new year. The Epiphany gift that we offer to one another this day is a simple blessing. A way of acknowledging the holiness within each of us and the divine possibility embedded within this new year. You all know that we close our services at Broad Street Ministry with a benediction, with a closing blessing as a way of sending ourselves out into the world. Anyone can do this. It's not just me or Alan or Evan. Anyone can offer this blessing as we leave this space. And so at the close of our service, we're going to receive our sending blessing, and you're going to be invited to pass the peace of Christ, as we always do. And today, you'll also be invited to offer blessings to one another for the new year. Your blessing doesn't have to be long and complex with fancy words. It can be as simple as, "May you see more of God in your life this year. May you find peace and satisfaction in your work this year. May you continue to grow this year. May you always feel full of life. May you know that you are deeply loved this year." As strange and as awkward as it may be, we strive to bless one another, especially on this Epiphany Sunday, because there is a real shortage of people willing to humbly recognize the holiness ingrained within each person we meet. We bless one another as a way of acknowledging the holiness and blessing ingrained within ourselves, even though we may forget that we ourselves are a blessing. Friends, know that you are a gift to this place, and that you are called and challenged to go out into the world and reveal the gifts and the divine possibility all around us. Amen. Let's pray. Loving God, we are grateful that we do not have to run off to mountaintops or monasteries to find you. That you reveal yourself in the people in our everyday lives, in the objects that we interact with, that you reveal the ways you are working. And so we ask that you would bless us in this year, 2019. Help us to see us ourselves as we truly are, as deeply loved, as highly capable, as people who are powerful, as people who can create change. Give us that blessing and challenge us, move through us so that we can bless others. We pray all of this in the name of your Son. Amen.